Campbell?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Laverne.
Thank you.
I was wondering, one thing is, I understand that the owner of Busboys and Poets has made a contribution of $10,000 to WPFW. This is in Washington, D.C. And I notice on this last report here for year to date by August, the end of August 31, I don't see any actual insofar as major donor income. In fact, there's no actual for the year. But I was wondering in particular about that $10,000. Was that at all received?
I'm pulling it up because you – that's Campbell Johnson. He's from PFW. So – at the time when Arlene was there, I believe it was that was the last month in August. So it was pledged. We can look through here and see when it was
received. I'm not positive, but I think it was received, but it was pledged as part of the fund drive on air in August. So I think, you know, as a contribution to that. So I imagine that it showed up in that total. Doesn't mean it's not a major donor, but it can't show up both places at the same time.
Thank you.
Other questions for LaVon? I have one.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Yes, I had an additional one. And I was curious about the budgeting during this period ended currently of $77,000 for the, I believe that is, website donations, whereas I believe the figure of the actual for the prior year it shows a negative $265. When would this website contribution $77,000 show up, or where did that budgeted figure come from?
Which you're looking at PFW?
Yes.
Oh, so you're looking at the where would it come from?
Yes. Where did that? Because we hadn't had any kind of website income in that region of numerical values ever, and I was wondering where that budgeted figure came from.
Well, actually, I'm. I'm almost positive there is, but what we have done is we've always included like website income, and it's included in listener support when we calculate our central services. So in this case, it should be reclassed from within listener support to website income. So that's where that would come from. It would come from the fact that there would be website income. However, it needs to be reclassed, and even when you calculate the services, it's still listeners who are supporting the station, so that's why it would need to be reclassed.
Wouldn't it be more appropriate, from an accounting standpoint, to not have a category that isn't really a category that's used?
Well, it's just a matter of starting to use it. Like, website income is relatively new for all stations. So it's just a matter of setting it up so that we are capturing it in that category.
Hmm. Anyone else questions for LaVon? Bill?
Thank you so much for the presentation, the information. I was wondering if you could emphasize, especially for people on the stream or for might be from the LSBs listening, again, why we have the why they were having to make the cutbacks at KPFA, for example, if you could emphasize that.
Okay, I'll do that. In fact, I'll find the KPFA sheet here, and I can go over specifically what the results are for KPFA for this year. But first, I would like to point out, as Bill said, go over it for people on the stream about KPFA, that the foundation excuse me, in November of 2008. At the time, I've previously been on the board of the PNB, but at that time, I was no longer on the PNB or working with the foundation. But in November 2008, the decision was made to, because of expenses exceeding revenue, and due to, in the fall, we always experience this cash flow. So looking forward, the decision was made at that time to cut headcount at all stations and the national office. So I understand there was a meeting in Washington, I believe, and the finance committee and the person who was the acting chair, who actually I believe was the KPFA treasurer at the time, but acting chair of the finance committee, it was the demand was that all stations reduce headcount and that those cuts were made at all stations except for KPFA. And also at that time, I believe the idea was also floated to actually get a loan for the foundation. And at the time when it was floated, that this loan was, there was a balloon payment, and they were going to mortgage KPFK, the station in L.A., mortgage their assets. And when the KPFK PNB representatives did more analysis on it, they found that to be highly unacceptable, and due primarily also to the fact that there was a balloon payment, and that with this organization, again, the way KPFA and Pacifica has set the standard is that we have expenses, we ask our listeners to support us in keeping this free speech, listener-supported social justice network on the air, and the listeners contribute. And the listeners expect a certain discipline for our stations to live within the means in terms of what they can support. And what happens, you know, in the 90s, in the you know, 2000s, like, you know, the real estate, there was a real estate boom, of course, in California and you know, in Texas, and especially the California area, L.A. and the other area. So, you know, people were experienced, they were like increasing headcount, there was lots of buildup, and they'd gotten used to a certain kind of like Bush era unrealistic living. And so this was going on. This affects all of us who are progressive, too. So this had happened. So basically the network was living beyond their means. They were spending. So they thought they could float this loan, $1 million loan, mortgaging KPFK's assets. So that was not approved. So instead they went to a line of credit. And actually KPFA had reserves at that time. In fact, used the reserves of KPFA to actually fund this line of credit, which they did after the loan would tank, but still experienced cash flow issues. So go back to November 2008. Other stations cut their headcount, some drastically. Here at BAI, there were results in that were not very good for the station. But again, A did not do it. So last year in 2009, the direction was to cut the headcount. It still was not done. But KPFA's expenses, they totally went through the reserves last year. And also a year later in August, we had to pay back that line of credit that we'd used. So what we did, working with our corporate attorney, was actually use, there were two Heath Foundation grants. So we used the one that the national office had deposited as a to borrow from ourselves and pay ourselves back, to, because we had this horrible cash flow issue with throughout the network. So that's what we did, and we're paying it back. We are paying it back. And but again, KPFA still did not cut headcount. They went through reserves. They had almost $1 million loss. So this year, you know, we didn't have a permanent ED since probably 2008. We have a permanent ED in. We have gone to the point where in the budgeting and as we end the year and KPFA having cash flow issues, that The headcount reductions that the staff initially put out did not work. They were reducing individual hours to, like, they were giving someone, instead of 100%, they were like 62%, which is like difficult to measure and to enforce, because what it requires is each pay period you're sitting there and saying, well, did this person work 62% or 65.6? So it was totally unrealistic. So our ED has a plan. She has shared it, you know, and I've worked with her and with the staff at KPFA, and we've gone through this all year, beginning with union negotiations. So there is a plan now. It's on the table. And, you know, I hope that everyone on this board supports that and understand, again, that we must live within our means. And KPFA's position, again, through August year-to-date, they have they're $300,000 lower on revenue, that their loss so far year-to-date for KPFA is almost $500,000. I'm going to get you the exact figure right now. It's $494,000. So these are facts. These are facts. And facts, and this requires measures to address that are disciplined, and to show the listeners that we do respect what they have done for this network, and it is our responsibility to keep this network on the air, and we have to do it through financial discipline.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bill.
Richard. Yes, this is Richard Uzel, director from Houston, Texas. Along the lines of what our CFO was just saying, I have, and I assume all the other directors have received quite a few emails from the Bay Area people concerned about cuts that are having to be made to balance the budget so that the station can stay on the air. And in a lot, if not most, of those emails, there's a dispersion cast toward the PNB as being the bully in the room. The problem is that the budgets have not been balanced. And unlike our station in Houston, where we have an active listener-involved finance committee that has for years been working with the budgets and making sure the budgets are balanced, the Bay Area station has not had an active LSB finance committee. They've had one individual that has been responsible for everything, and I say go talk to that one individual and ask him why the budgets weren't balanced. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Nia.
Thanks. Thanks, LeVar, for the report. First, I'd like to say that at that particular time when the loan was suggested and applied for, at that time, it was a good idea. I don't know if Campbell would agree with me or disagree with me. He was there from the beginning. I know that the economy is really bad, and we know the history of what has gone wrong, but I'd like to know, as the CFO, what do you foresee yourself doing to try to get us back on solid footing? That's number one. And the other question is, so we only have two budgets, and when will the other budgets be completed?
Thank you, Nia, for those questions. Nia is from WBAI here in New York. First of all, in terms of what I can do, we are in the position now, and like I said, we have these weekly meetings with the management, the general managers, the staff for the national office, and that it's not what I can do, it's what the general managers and we as a team can do to right this situation. And we know that, you know, all of us have this hope that the economy will turn around. We also, as Arlene has said, she is in the process of installing permanent general managers in our stations, and that we have not had that for a while. So working with those general managers, and as Kimriet said, you bring in new people, they have new ideas in terms of, you know, how we can address these issues. And in fact, as the LSB and interview these people, I'm sure that's what you're looking for, is someone who can come in and make these things work. Because there are common things among each station, but also each station has a unique market. Like with BAI, I went on a call with the general manager and the person who's working with development here at BAI, with a major donor and a person who has resources and access to even major funds for the network. So those are the types of things we're doing, and we are getting these fresh ideas from these new general managers. For example, here in New York, the whole issue we talked about, producing a package that each station, although again you're unique, but producing a package that we can present to major funders, to both foundations, so that we can identify what the foundation is doing and present this to raise funds. So working together as a group, those are the types of things that we're doing, you know, to make ourselves available to help in this major donor fundraising, and to help like specific stations like KPFA. I'm glad people have asked these questions about KPFA, because as our PNB member from KPFA, as Tracy was saying, that there are things, and also Shyam, that there are efforts that they have people who are responsible board members and who wanted to do some things to help, and they were not allowed to do it. So again, with new management in the stations, with new ideas, that I can enforce the discipline in terms of the budget, to not accept a budget that, you know, that shows cash flow, shows negative, you know, if you have no reserves and you show negative cash flows, that's not allowable, and that's what was allowed in KPFA's budget last year. And so therefore my position is that, you know, it's not allowed to have a budget where you have these negative cash flows unless you have reserves to cover them. So those are some of the things that I can work myself, having access, being a resource, you know, knowing my prior background. And I hate to do this because I hate people who do this, but I worked in corporate America. I went to school on the East Coast. I have a degree in economics from the University of Pennsylvania. I have an MBA from Washington University in St. Louis. I worked for two major corporations in my career, and I actually retired in 1996. And I was fortunate enough to do that. I live in California. And then I started volunteering with KPFA, and at times I left everything alone, and which I'd done when you guys brought me back on last year. But again, I think that I have a background with both the foundation as an unpaid person and a board member, and spending a lot of time, and now as the CFO, to see the mission, to be able to communicate that to our major donors, to actually bring us back to a more sustainable foundation, and to assist these new general managers in their efforts to, again, build up reserves for the foundation so that we're not into these cash flow crunches that we get into. And as far as the budgets, I cannot give you really a date, but what I can tell you is that every station has a budget that's developed, like WPFW's is passed by their LSB. And let me point out, number one, KPFT's budget was presented, developed, passed by their LSB, and they're always number one at that. We appreciate that. KPFK's budget was developed like last June. We're not really sure what the status is on that in terms of getting the LSB to pass it. But the budget was fully developed. KPFK, again, is a major fundraiser. They are the ones with the highest level of reserves. So it depends a lot on these, on the governing bodies. We've actually reviewed PRA, which their budget is not controlled by a governing body, or local governing body, but by the Pacifica National Board. The archives director actually was on a National Finance Committee calls to answer questions about his budget and working with his business manager, Mariana. We have that budget, and their budget will be finalized once the station's budgets are finalized and they are told what the amount of premiums that each station will request from them. So that will finalize their budget. We have a draft we've been working on with the national office. The national office budget is basically a break-even budget, although we do a direct mail drive, which we'll do for the holidays, and we expect everyone out there to really support us. We appreciate that. So those are basically the budgets that are left. WBAI's budget has been done also, and I understand you don't know more about that. It's been presented to the LSB, and your general manager will talk about that, I know, later today. So again, it's based on when the LSBs will actually get to these budgets and approve them, because the budgets are actually developed. You know, the staff there have done it. You know, I've looked at them, and we're just, you know, waiting for the LSBs to take care of that.
I'll put you on the stack, Alex. Andrea?
Oh, okay. Just the inquiry, historical inquiry, backtracking. I was under the impression, or at least I was told, that this is Andrea Turner, KPFA. I was told that the last GM submitted a plan to reduce the KPFA's budget, which included personnel, to the ED. So, the IED. You're saying that was never done, and I was under the impression and told that the GM did this. So I just need clarification on that. You're saying that it was never done, and most of us on the local station board is under the impression that it was submitted and there was no action taken by the interim ED on the plan that was submitted. So and I think that's important, you know, for us to at least have a clearer picture. And try to move forward on this. And I do thank you for your report. I must note that the report itself looks, I like the PowerPoint and the presentation. With a little bit of help, we all come a long way. So if you could clarify some of that historical information, I would appreciate that.
Thank you. That was Andrea Turner from KPFA. What we have for KPFA.
As I noted.
I'm sorry?
I noted that.
Right. Well, I was just saying it again because, you know, in case people, you spoke and then people on the stream.
I got you.
You know, it's been around radio. I'm like kind of picking up some of the stuff that people hammer into my head about identification on the air. Let me just say that the budget for KPFA that was presented for 2010 does not have any of that in there. There was supposed to be, when I came on, Last year, we were, you know, the budget, I guess, I came in January, so the budget would actually have been produced or developed, like, prior to then. And, in fact, when I came on, I think that was when they were saying that, that those cuts were not in this budget. So your 2010 budget does not have those cuts in there. So whatever was presented are you know, it's not in this budget. It's not in KPFA's 2010 budget. It's not in the budget. It's not there. That even at the budget, that there was a line in there for severance. In fact, I'm trying to find it here. But those things were never yet. There's a line here. In fact, there's a line here, and the first time there's a expenses against severance pay was in August of this year. So therefore, the plan, whatever was there, was never implemented. It was just a line there that said severance pay. So there's some severance pay of $1,560. Well, in August, there was actually severance pay. I'm not going to give you the exact amount,
right.
There was severance pay in the second quarter, but that's because the general manager had moved on. But in terms of cutting headcount for the staff, there was no severance in here until August of this year. So if there was a plan presented and it wasn't implemented, it's not in the budget. So and as far as you know, Sen, he said, she said,
right.
It's not here. I mean, the numbers they're not there. It was not done.
Okay.
So this kind of like speaks for itself. Again, the loss so far through the first 11 months of the year is $500,000 at KPFA. That $500,000 loss and no reserves calls for expenses to be cut. Expenses headcount was not cut at KPFA. It was cut at the national office, at the stations, throughout the network, with the exception of KPFA. And I believe at the time, the acting chair of the Finance Committee was from KPFA and emphasized that these cuts had to be made, and they were made at every other station except KPFA.
Okay, Alex.
I just want to bring up something. All of us on the National Board have been getting a lot of emails from some website that where the emails seem to be canned, but the message is always that there's an allegation that there are politically motivated staff reductions that are about to take place at KPFA. And I think it would be proper to just make a direct response to that. And not only is the allegation that there are politically motivated staff reductions coming out, but some individual directors are being named. And I think it would be a good idea just to make a direct response to that. You've already given us the background about the necessity for some reductions at KPFA. I know something about that because at WBAI, until last year's budget, we had a series of what we used to call fantasy budgets, where we knew we were going to be in the red, but we produced a budget that simply ignored it. And that apparently has been happening at KPFA for a while. So I think, it would be good if you can respond to that, and maybe some of the KPFA directors would want to say something about that as well. And I'm Alex Steinberg from WBAI.
LaVon, do you want to respond?
You know, I can respond. First of all, it's good to see staff to be involved and to think about the future of the station, but it's also really helpful if like the facts, like when Andrea asked the question about she was told that this plan was presented and it wasn't there, and if you look at the budget, you see there was no plan. It was not implemented. That KPFA has lost $500,000. That's before depreciation so far this year. So all of the I've gotten those emails, and as we go into the PNB meeting, I must say that I'm trying to prepare. I'm thinking about the things that are needed. We're in the middle of a cash crunch. We're closing this fiscal year at KPFA. Actually, I'm really working and to get our national staff, which was cut, but to get our national, one of the people who report to me, to actually work next door at KPFA to close this fiscal year because of the whole issue last year with the $375,000 check that wasn't deposited. that the deposits are not going in as quickly as on a daily basis, which is what I need to have in order to understand what our cash position is for the whole network. That this person, that for some reason we have not been able to get this person in there working like I have requested over the last month, and it's KPFS is the station where I volunteered, where I'm from the Berkeley area, but the station is not, you know, I've alluded to this before, that, you know, as a network, we have to work together, that the network belongs to the foundation. Like, I've even had people at KPFA to ask me about the national office paying rent to KPFA, and stating that the facilities, the assets of the foundation does not belong to the foundation, but belongs to KPFA. So there seems to be this march and this like almost pep rally and build up to get us into this adversarial position, which is not, you know, which the listener does not want to hear on the air, which is not productive for this foundation, and is not about the business of this foundation. So if we can stay on track as far as what our business is in terms of producing radio, disseminating information, and instead of building up to some adversarial role between what they see as a foundation and what they see as I don't know what, but to demand that the national office pay rent on property that belongs to the foundation, I think is one of the more ridiculous things that's done. And to imply that there is something political about cutting staff, and we've gone through union negotiations. This was talked about with the union back in April, that the headcount would have to be reduced. And basically, I believe in the seniority method. I believe in the union. You do it by seniority and you recognize talent. That's the way you reduce headcount. And so, therefore, that's what we believe in. And that if there's a reduction and someone, you know, takes it that they can point at it and say that this is political, you know, that's just their opinion. But I just hope everyone gets back to the job, to their work, of the foundation, and that KPFA is in the middle of a fund drive. I would hope people would pay more attention to making this a successful fund drive rather than whipping up the emotions to get us in this adversarial position.
Point of information.
Thank you, Chair.
Point of information.
Okay, I heard Rico first.
Go ahead. I like many of the board, have gotten a great number of emails concerning KPFK. KPFA. And I guess the question I have is this a well-orchestrated effort from a minority, or does this represent the majority? And that's what I'd like to know from maybe some of the PNB reps from that station, whether they feel that this effort represents a majority or a minority.
I guess it's a fair question. Does anyone want to respond to it?
No.
Tracy?
Since no one else has jumped into the breach, as it were. Here we go.
At last count, and I assume that we're getting the same emails, I think the total number has been a little bit less than 200 or so. KPFA has 22,000 subscribers and about 10 times that many listeners, well, more than 10 times that many listeners. So I don't think that saying it is the sentiment of the majority of the listeners or the majority of the subscribers would be a fair statement. I will say that those 200 emails include more than half the local board, more than half the board candidates from an affiliated faction for the past couple of years. And in other words, I know many of the people that sent me emails. I think it reflects the strong feelings and sentiments of a certain percentage of KPFA's listenership and subscribership, and it's good that they express their concerns. It is the concerns of those people in
any idea what that percentage might be?
No, I think that 200 people out of 22,000 is a number, and it's a number called 1%. What I would say to you is that I've received many emails from people telling me that they do not approve of the board acting to decimate staff members with dissenting opinions, and they do not believe in political purges. And I would share those sentiments. I do not believe in political purges either. And if someone sent me an email saying express the fact that you do not believe in a political purge of dissenting viewpoints, I would always send that email, because I do not believe in a political purge of dissenting viewpoints.
Okay, we're getting a little beyond the question. Joe, did you want to have
question of whether revenues and expenses need to add up, and questions of whether there are serious headcount issues at KPFA is a different question.
This is just a response to Rico's question. If you want, I'll put you on the stack.
I was responding to the question. I'm done now. He asked me a question that I needed to answer.
Yeah, he asked about the minority or what the size of the objection was.
200 out of 22,000.
Joe, do you want to respond?
I'll say that, I mean, even the way the question is framed, and I understand why you're framing it that way, I think is problematic. I mean, the information itself is disinformation based on information that was leaked. And this is something that the board should probably look at. I mean, this is a meeting between national board members and senior management at the station. And somebody from that meeting then went to the staff with disinformation about what was being discussed at that meeting, and that's the basis for these responses. So to ask the question whether it's, you know, a minority or majority seems to be almost immaterial, because the way it's being framed is so deceptive and dishonest. It's not a fair phrasing of it, and people are responding based on the assumption, you know, the disinformation that board members woke up one morning and decided to go and purge people at the station, rather than within the context of what Lavon is talking about, that the board 2 years ago said that the station has to make cuts, and certainly the only fair way to do that in a station that is in a union environment is to go by seniority, which is the way the station should proceed. I'd imagine the board, all members of the board would agree. As a matter of principle, any time you're doing major layoffs, you proceed on the basis of seniority in the union environment. So I think that what we're facing here is a disinformation campaign on the one hand, and then there's the serious question, I think, of why and how was this information leaked in the first place.
Okay. Rico, you are next on the stack for questions for Lavon. Rico Ross from KPFK. I'm sorry, you had a point of information.
Yeah, and I had a point of information.
And you did also.
Since the questions and Campbell Johnson, WPFW, since the questions seem to be going rather in lengthy fashion in responses, I was wondering when there might be an opportunity before the end of this session to present a motion for the board.
Well, the stack consists of Rico as the last person who hadn't spoken yet who wants to speak again, and if there's no one else coming on, you'll be after that.
Thank you.
Andrea?
Yeah, I have a point of information in regards to the Lavon. You stated that that there's this whole history of passing when taking monies from the administration, the national office versus the local, the KPFA station, or whatever. Let me just back up here a minute. If we have a pot of money, what I'm getting to is a policy kind of thing. If we have a pot of money and we all put into this pot of money, are there policies on how we share this, like KPFT help bail us out at KPFA in regards to our personnel? you know, paying our payroll this, yeah, our payroll this time. Okay, so tell me this. Do we then now owe back to KPFT to pay them back? The reason why, okay. So then if that's the case, then would it not be if National borrows from KPFA, gets money so that they can survive, that the National would then pay back KPFA? I don't know. Are there policies about this on how we pay each other back? Or do we pay each other back, if at all? Is there some enforcement on paying back so that the books can balance out, that if KPFA gave the National office $1 million or whatever, for example, that then the National office gives back to KPFA, and or either sets up some type of plan where there's a deduction to say, like, okay, we'll reduce your CSO payments or something to give back to the station that may have bailed out the National office? I'm just putting that out.
Andrew, the question's clear.
Okay, that's my question.
Okay, let me just be brief. You know, the National office is not getting money from KPFA, or the National office is just a staff, and the National office, through economies of scale, pays for NPR, Democracy Now, insurance. The National office is not getting money from this is what the concept. The National office, in the past, when people had reserves, the funds that came into the National office were used to help pay expenses at other stations. It wasn't.
On paying back each other.
Your initial premise was that the National office was getting money from KPFA, and the National office gets money from the stations to pay for the major expenses that are common expenses to run the stations. The reason why they're at the national office is due to economies of scale. It's not, and also to provide support to the stations when there are issues in terms of getting things done. Like with KPFA, there's an issue now of closing the books and doing it timely, and the big elephant in the room was the fact that that $375,000 check was not deposited.
That wasn't my question. Andrea, please.
It was not deposited, and I gave a copy in the closed session to everyone, a copy of our first statement from the San Francisco Foundation, where we got that $375,000 back. So when everyone had reserves, you could tap into these reserves and whatever station didn't have money to make payroll, we would do it. Are the stations who didn't pay into the central services, the reserves that did come in, we could use that for all common expenses. But what has happened this year is that KPFA has not paid into the central services since April. WBAI has not been able to pay in, and we know because we went through this period of about 6 months where the fulfillment just stopped where it had been improving. WPFW, all the reasons I talked about due to the transmitter failure.
LaVarne, it isn't necessary to go back over all that history. Okay, the question was, is there a repayment policy or not?
The repayment policy now without reserves is that if a station borrows, if it can borrow reserves from another station, What I have demanded is just to set up a short-term internal loan, and you promise to pay that back to that station to give them their reserves back when your station goes into fundraising and get the money. The only reason why is because the National office does not have a reserve now because stations are not paying into central services to be available for stations when they have cash flow issues, and KPFA had a cash flow issue for the first time in the month of September in terms of payroll.
Okay. Going back to the stack, Rico Ross from KPFK.
Thank you.
I guess the reason that I asked that one question was I don't really know the position of what's happening at KPFK and KPFA. Why do I keep saying? Oh, because I'm from KPFK. That's right. No, but from KPFA.
Thank you, Richard.
And we also know. I don't see someone with the opposing view, so I'm just playing the devil's advocate here and trying to represent. We also know that when one person writes in, that often represents maybe 100 views that only that one person writes in. So we have to take that in consideration. But so only the fact that only 1% wrote in, it could represent more than that 1%. Mm-hmm. I just want to make that point. Yeah. But I don't know, and that's why I have to refer to you guys. And also the other thing about the representation, if it's representing... if it's misinformation that's getting out there, they seem to have been more effective at getting the misinformation out than we have been getting the real information out. So I think we have to make a better job of getting the facts out so that they don't win that fight, if that's the case. Lastly, Nash, the chair of the National Finance Committee has sent us a report, and she's not able to be here. But it seems it would be proper that someone would read that report.
Well, we're going to have committee reports coming up after lunch, so that would be the time to do that.
Thank you.
Tracy.
Regarding Rico's point, he is absolutely correct. There is definitely an advantage when some individuals leak selected information and misinformation from a confidential meeting, and some entities don't. That's what happened. It's much more effective to go ahead and do that than to not do that. Regarding the debts, this is my understanding, and I was not involved in governance at this time, so I'm just going to present this and hope that this is fairly close to accurate. There's a huge interstation receivable from WBAI to the national office. More than $1 million. It's been on the books as long as I've been looking at the books, so at least since 2005, 2006. It's always been my understanding that that money's never going to get paid back, and that's an understanding because there were financial problems, and WBAI is still here because we made an effort as a network not to let it sink under for many years. So when we go back to ancient history, we have to understand that isn't money the national office took from KPFA. That is money that the network chose to invest to keep WBAI from going bankrupt or being sold. That money doesn't exist on paper. The national office doesn't have it. WBAI still doesn't have it.
KPFA doesn't either.
KPFA could have made the choice that BAI could go under. KPFA didn't make that choice.
But please, finish your comments, Tracy.
That is because we are a network. That is because we are a network. That $1.4 million cannot be paid back. It is gone. It was invested to keep WBAI going. Presenting that as some sort of national office shakedown of KPFA is unfair to everyone involved. In terms of where we go from here, we can't pay money we don't have.
Yeah,
it is not real money. It is $1.4 million that kept WBAI alive.
Exactly. Thank you, Tracy.
Joe?
Well, just to add, I guess I'll mention this to Rico when I see him again, but this is mainly in response to his point. This KPFA worker site was used for the same purpose several years ago in the context of one of the former general managers, Roy Campanella. And in terms of his point was, we need to respond as effectively to the disinformation with, the real information. The problem is what actually happened at that meeting is confidential. So they're using confidentiality here as a sword and a shield. So you go out, and with the disinformation about the meeting, but we can't really respond in any real fashion because that information, that discussion happened in a confidential context. So, all we can, and so the real crime here is leaking disinformation from that meeting and not being accountable for it. And that's something that I think the National Board should address.
Thank you.
Kathy.
Well, thank you, Tracy, for giving debt forgiveness to BAI. I'm sure we can use it. I'm totally in agreement with that, but that's another story. I just wanted to also point out that I would actually love for us to have a historical record going back as far as we can for where money came from, who lent money to somebody else, and how there was a time in Pacifica where everyone voluntarily helped to build and buy the other stations. We didn't become a five-network station because of the national office. It's because the individual stations supported, did fundraisers in New York for another station because their transmitter broke. We have a long history of that. And I think if we reminded ourselves that that's the legacy of what our organization is, we might be able to move forward with a little less bitterness. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for that. George, may I just thank you for that? Because that was the intent.
Andrea, no, okay. You don't have the floor.
All right, I don't.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak who hasn't spoken or ask a question of LeVar? Okay.
I guess the persons that said quite discreetly. To be perfectly honest with you, I didn't read the KPFA worker stuff. I'm just going to say that. But could you discreetly say, what leak are you talking about?
The question's for Joe. I think I understand it, but I'll
as discreetly as possible. Because it's, first of all, there's about 300-400 of them here, and I have just as much eyesight to get me from here to that door. So,
Do you want me to respond, or do you want to respond?
I can respond.
Go ahead.
What I'm saying is that the claims made on this kbfaworker.org website are based on ostensibly based on information gleaned from a meeting, a confidential meeting that happened at the station between the national board representative from KPFA, the executive director, and senior management at the station.
The four directors from KPFA?
All four directors were supposed to be there. Only three of us were there.
Yeah,
And the executive director, the interim general manager, and an assistant general manager. So information from that meeting was leaked. That's what I'm talking about. Disinformation was leaked.
Okay.
Hey, can I just add something? This is LeVar.
I'm sorry. Yes.
I was there, and you know, and when you get into discussions about reductions, you look at various scenarios. You're looking at a scenario, and whether what was leaked was the scenario that was presented is another question. So you know, all of it, as they said, is and you know, as CFO, I'm like not into any political sides, but this is very damaging to the foundation to do something like that, because whatever was the scenario that was leaked, I don't know if that was really the scenario that was presented. There were various scenarios presented. One that it presented earlier when Andrea was asking the question about things being presented, you know, a scenario was presented where you just reduce people hours to like...
Is this from executive session?
No. This is a fact
in this confidential meeting.
No. I'm just telling you about this. This was presented, but this is public now because this is what was.
Okay.
This was in terms of reducing headcount, which is what we're all talked about and needs to be done. What was presented was a reduction in hours, so that you know someone's hours was reduced to like 0.63%, which you know is ludicrous. So, you know, I'm just talking about different scenarios that were presented. So this is very damaging. This is taken away from a time when KPFA is in fund drive, and this energy and meetings are being held to present this type of stuff to the foundation and to set up this adversarial position between the national office, the foundation, and KPFA. And as Tracy so wisely expressed, that we have all contribute different stations to keep this network together, and our position is to continue to do that.
Okay. Anyone else who hasn't spoken who would like to ask a question? Anyone else? Tracy, did you want a second round? Yeah. And then Andrea. Good. Tracy, then Andrea.
Yeah, two things. I mean, on the leak and the scenarios and all of the items that LaVarne was mentioning, and to some degree to address Rico's concerns, I just want to be clear that a brainstorming meeting is in a confidential forum is set up to exchange ideas, and what that means is that you look at a situation, you have a problem, you throw all the ideas out on the table, and you make such a meeting confidential so that people can speak candidly, address mm-hmm. concerns, bring out ideas, and see if those ideas are good ideas, bad ideas, mm-hmm. if they have support, and if they don't. And I think that's a fairly common structure that groups use when they're facing a really difficult and really thorny problem. If information was going to be leaked from that meeting, there are probably 20 different scenarios that could have been leaked. What Joe is addressing here correctly is pulling out partial information, distorted information, and information out of context that serves one political perspective only out of a confidential forum without background, without context, without accuracy, and without completion. And that is almost always a situation where the responses to it are going to be inaccurate, confused, biased, incomplete. If you could be a fly on the wall in that situation and have gone through the entire discussion, then the perspectives and the reactions would be different. You know, plain and simple.
Mr. Chair, I have a point of information for the CFO.
Okay.
Well, let Tracy finish her comments, and then we'll deal with that.
Yeah. And the second situation is the second comment is simply that I do not think at this point it is fair or accurate or reasonable to expect WBAI to be able to enable KPFA to continue running deficits for a third consecutive year by subsidizing KPFA's central service obligations in 2011. That is impossible. That is not a rational budget scenario. And it's a conversation that really, whatever the feelings involved, is not practical and does not move us forward.
Richard.
We have 120 full-time people and many dozen part-time people at five stations throughout the country. On each one of those paychecks, when they get their paycheck, that comes from what is listed up there for where those checks are coming from?
Pacifica Foundation.
Thank you,
Honor.
Ma'am.
Also, the full-time equivalents, there are more people who are paid. When you say full-time equivalent, that equates to a person in a standard work week. So there are more than 120 people on the payroll.
And those checks standard. Come from the Pacifica Foundation, right?
Yes, they do, Your Honor.
Andrea.
Yeah, let me just make this clear. Budgets are political, and I deal with budgets all the time. But I just wanted to know if there are policies and procedures backing some of the movement of monies around, and that was my intent of the question. And I don't want to be painted into the role of not knowing that the monies that we generate in this pot belong to the foundation. I know that they do, but I want to know how we interact and expend the funds amongst each of the stations. And we haven't had that discussion fully. So just because it's my voice, Andrea Turner from KPFA, and I'm on a particular side or whatever, that's not the issue. We're here to discuss the full budget and to find out how we expend our funds. And I have a right to ask if there are policies and procedures. And it seems to be a little shaky on some of those policies and procedures that sometimes we pay back, I just heard, and sometimes we don't. So please, you know that that's where I'm coming from, and not necessarily from you see me and you know that I'm with a CL or whatever in the Berkeley area. Okay? Goodness gracious.
Arlene,
thank you,
George.
Arlene?
I'm not sure what, if any, written policy is in effect. We're in the process of working on the financial policies and procedures, and I've made a note to myself to check that and also to be sure that we include something in the revised manual. But the other side of that is that at least currently at the national office, since I've been there, and I'm assuming probably back to the time Laverne can confirm whether it would be true to when she came in as interim, the policy has been that if we borrow something from one unit, it is repaid by whoever borrowed it.
All right.
Going back further than that, I couldn't comment.
Okay. Thank you. That was
I could.
All right. Go ahead.
It was borrowed and wasn't necessarily paid back. There was no clear sense that it was ever going to get returned if it was needed.
Okay. See, and that's therein lies our some of the areas that we have to clean up. That's all.
In regards to
the policies and how we share.
It's also my understanding that there was that over the years you could point to almost every unit at some time or another carrying
other
units.
One conversation at a time.
Yeah.
And so I think we should all just be grateful that we have at times in the past worked together as a unit, and I know that what I'm eternally grateful for is the people at all of the stations who fought to save Pacifica as a network back around the turn of the century and before that. And I continue to operate from that perspective.
All right. Thank you, Arlene. Yeah,
I just want to emphasize again, which I said earlier, is that when there were reserves in the national office and all the stations were contributing to central services, what the national office would do is just to take care of the shortfalls. But if the national office does not have a reserve to take care of any shortfall, then you have to look at the other stations. And the other stations, basically, at this position, they're saying, well, we cut our headcount 2 years ago, so we have enforced these changes, so why should we fund a station that did not take the cuts that we have to take, and now they are having issues? So that's basically the issue. But other than that, I just want to say that I'd like to thank the audience for their support and allowing me to speak to you. It's quite different than what it was last year, I might add. So thank you very much.
Any other? Sharam?
Just on KPFA budget, one thing, it's a bitter fact, but we have to accept it, that KPFA budget is not, as it stands, is not sustainable. I mean, this is something, whether KPFA is owed some money by WBI or not, you can't rely on just getting this money and just overspend and overspend. See, there's some structural problems at the station that needs to be addressed, and that has something to do with the number of people on the payroll and the fact that there's not as much revenue coming in. The number of listeners is dwindling. The age of the listeners, I mean, the average age of a listener for KPFA is going up. We are not getting new listeners. The programming needs to be revamped. So there are some major structural problems there. And even when you compare it to other stations of a similar size, like KPFK, you can tell that the FTEs, the number of full-time employees, is the payroll is much higher than KPFK. So I think it's good to keep that perspective when we're looking at this issue of who owes money to whom. That may temporarily take care of some problem if the money is returned, but you still have to address the structural problem that is only been aggravated by economic crisis, but it's not caused by it. Those are my 2 cents.
Okay. I'd like to move on, if we could, and to begin discussing the budgets. Lauren, have you got them distributed, or we can?
Yeah, I sent them out. Some of them have been sent out, I think, earlier, particularly the KPFT budget. I sent that out, I know, because we had passed that. And I just wanted to know if everyone at some time, either just a few minutes ago or earlier or the last month or so, had a chance to pull that KPFT budget up and just kind of look at it.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there anybody who hasn't?
Very good.
Okay, good. So we got it.
So someone from the Finance Committee or someone, anyone here who'd like to make the motion?
Mr. Richard Uzel, Houston delegate, or whatever we are, director. I'd like to take just a real quick minute to say sorry our main finance guy is not here this weekend. He's back in Houston, Alberto Larrera. Alberto has been very active. He's been the treasurer for the last 2 years, and then he's been on the national board this year. And he's whipped our budget with a lot of work from other people, and not just, you know, our management and everybody else. And as I talked earlier about our very successful and hardworking finance committee, I would like to move the adoption of this board of the KPFT 2011 budget. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any discussion, or is there any objection to that motion?
Somebody might want a second.
Is there a second for it? Okay. I'll ask again. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Hearing none, the KPFT budget is adopted as presented.
All right.
The next one would be the PFW budget.
And that one, I know I sent it just a while ago. I think we had sent it out earlier when we initially passed it in the NFC. I'm sure we copied the PNB. So has everyone had a chance to look at that budget?
Not yet. Just a moment.
It's. I'm sure I sent it earlier. I'll have to find it. WPFW. Yes.
Maybe I'm not recollecting this, but I don't recall that we actually passed the budget on the National Finance Committee. We discussed it.
There was a
it.
Caveat.
Yeah, we discussed yeah. it, and we didn't have any huge issues with it, but there were some. There were some technical issues that we wanted to get cleared up.
Right. Well, what it involved was some work, and that what we had committed to do, the interim general manager here at WBAI also wears another hat where he helps with the budget, which is what he did last year. So then what we would ask is that we don't have it in the format that the Houston's budget was in, so we're going to work that this weekend and while I'm here Monday, and we'll have it in the format, and hopefully we can bring that forward when it's in the format, the same as KPFT's. May
okay.
we do that?
So, all right. So this will be referred to the NFC for...
Well,
or you'll just do it yourself?
Well, Bertel Reimers and I will do it.
Information, George?
Yeah.
Mayor?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Finance Committee didn't approve it?
Well, we did. We approved it, but we said that we would.
It was kind of like a. I don't remember the words. You know, we took a vote on it, but there were some issues that had to be cleared up with the presentation,
right.
Basically.
But other than that, the numbers aren't changing. Nothing is changing.
Okay, so it's
correct.
It's the format of the presentation we're
right.
talking about.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
But the numbers aren't changing.
Well,
yeah, but
maybe,
it's still not
Tracy
in the. If we decided. Tracy, do
well,
you
reason,
recall more?
The reason.
Well, just a minute. Let's make
I
sure.
I don't want
no, just, Tracy, just a moment.
Oh.
So the question was.
Yeah.
Are the numbers fixed and the format just changing, or right. what?
If it's you know, substance. I think we should pass the substance. The style, okay, but I don't think we should hold it up. For that, if the numbers aren't, Campbell is shaking his head all over the place. I don't know which way you're going in a
well,
circle.
There was
so, okay. The question has, I think, been answered.
That's
is
what
it,
I, that's
is
what
it correct
I
that the numbers are fixed or it isn't?
But
Okay. They should be, but it may not.
Is it a formula issue?
I mean, it might George? Be off by a dollar, you know, $2.
Since I asked a question, George.
Just a moment. I have a point of order.
Wait a second.
I don't think I've seen it, so I don't know if we can approve it if we don't have it in front of us yet.
It's emailed. It's at 11:36 a.m. this morning.
Okay, so is it? Let me have a specific question. Are the formulas off?
Can I give a point of information?
It's not the issue.
About what actually happened at the meeting?
Okay, please tell me what happened.
I think it would be, yes, there was an information requested, and I think it's appropriate for you to provide the answer.
At the Finance Committee meeting itself, it was agreed that in principle the NFC thought this was a sound budget. We did not formally pass it due to the formatting issues. It was agreed by the group that if the PNB wanted to look at it over the weekend, that would be a good thing. But from a procedural point of view, we can't pass this budget. The NFC hasn't passed it. The second issue is, in between after the meeting and now, the treasurer at PFW also brought up some issues or concerns, and I think those are in the process of being addressed, but I don't know for sure because I'm not at PFW, and I do think it's appropriate to make for the NFC to make sure that those issues were concerned. So I think this budget is informational, and we are not in a position to approve it at this
point. Okay. So I will entertain a motion to refer this back to the NFC for final approval.
So moved.
Is there any second to that?
Well, I'll second it. The person from W said so moved. Okay. How about Marcel? Oh, I don't know where Marcel and we have.
It's made and seconded. Is there any objection to that motion? Okay. Hearing none, this is referred back to the National Finance Committee. It is now 10 to 1.
Do we go to lunch at 1?
We were supposed to go to lunch at 1. What comes up next is committee reports.
I think we should go to lunch at 1, and I have a couple of places here that people could go.
What I'd like to do is to not take any more business.
Right.
We'll begin when we come back at 2:30 with committee reports.
Right.
And take the time, and you can share some good places to eat.
Yeah, okay. Let's see.